ゲームをしましょう。
ゲーム？
はい、マスターに植え付けられた偽りの存在をかけゲームを
つもり、
そして極めて失礼ながら負けていただけませんか？
Honestly, so, you know what, let's just get on here and talk about this. So this whole situation with Adele and her hashtag glow up, Adele lost some weight. She posted a picture. She had recently got, I don't know how recent, because I actually don't follow Adele that much, but I know she had recently been either engaged or married, and she is no longer in that relationship, right? So this is kind of like a post-relationship look that she's giving, and she's several pounds lighter. And, you know, there's this, you know, conversation about whether or not this it's fat phobic to sort of celebrate her and her weight loss. So just to open that up, right? How do we feel about that idea that celebrating weight loss is fat phobic? And if also if anyone wants to offer up sort of a general working definition of fat phobia, we can do that too. Okay. Just so we know kind of what we're talking about.
So I think that this conversation is complicated because I think a lot of people are taking it in different ways. Like everyone is kind of interpreting the conversation at large in different ways.
I might have said ways.
Just like it's because like I think some people are personalizing it with their own kind of journeys with weight loss or just like their own you know, interaction with their weight and other people's weight. Some people are more assigning it to like Adele's specific journey. Some people are talking about it more of like how people are going to address fat people that lose weight. So it's like kind of a weird conversation. And I think some people are just having completely different ones to begin with. But I think what I personally think is that Adele looks great. I don't follow Adele like that, but I do know now that she has been like dedicated to working out and having a like quote unquote healthier lifestyle. And for the most part, her weight loss has been like a gradual decline. Maybe in the last like 2-ish years, like it just kind of accelerated a little bit. Because now these pictures that are coming out, she looks like a whole new girl. But for the most part, her weight loss has been gradual. So I can support her, but I do think that some people, like, they're casually letting their inner fat phobia out just in the way that they're reacting to people saying, hey, like, so, you know, there's never a discourse about fat people's bodies until they lose weight. And then now they're the topic of conversation.
Mm-hmm. So like, let me jump in and just say this. I agree completely with you. There's like, people are coming at this at so many different angles. There's really not much you can do to kind of decipher it, especially if your own personal point of view is so intrinsically tied to weight loss, dieting, or like, you know, the idea of fat phobia or eating disorders. I think for me as a person of size, the conversation around Adele really hits multiple spaces and multiple scenes. Like, if you think about it, Adele, of course, is like, you know, a white woman who's been in the music industry and in the public eye since she was like 18, and she was kind of not a fluke, but it was kind of like a weird happenstance thing that she went from, you know, everyday London girl to pop star. Well, not pop. Well, yeah, I guess she is like pop genre. When she came out with Chasing Pavements, my ears were to the to the TV. I was crying at whatever age.
I'm like, so tired.
Look, I was going through extreme trauma. I've always been a person of size. So going through high school, I was going through extreme trauma. I was dealing with like sexual assault and things like that, physical abuse from both people around me at my school, and then also coming home to like a very disruptive home when my parents were being divorced, and it was turning into a one person household and things like that. So like my weight was just another issue on top of my face with like cystic acne that impacted me highly. And when you see like bigger people on television, there were never any positive outlets for that either. Because at that time, there were shows like The Real World, and anytime there was a person of size on, or like The Real World Challenge, or any of these like big, like The Biggest Loser had just started becoming a thing. There were a lot of like weight specific shows. There was even like that show with Jillian Harvey. I think it's
Jillian Harvey.
There was a show with that at the time too. And so there were never any positive outlets for me to see like people of size. But whenever you had like a woman of size on a show, like towards that time, like Glee with Amber Riley, or like Adele coming out with Chasing Pavements, like it was so different seeing a person of size on screen. And Adele came in as a person of size. She never, and I guess like the conversation also sits around Adele being more palatable as a woman of size, because she's not really dangerous for people. And then also there's like this intrinsic idea or connection between fatness and quote unquote soul. And Adele fit into that R&B soul voice kind of thing, because, you know, her voice was, you know, some people will say it's husky or it's strong or it has like these, you know, this treble to it that's so different. And it's like, girl, there are plenty of, you know, white women that can sing that are fat, but fatness has so many like huge implications behind it that, I think this conversation like is literally taking all of that and like forcing it itself into like a Twitter 160 character thing, and people are trying to write dissertations, and I'm like,
okay, let's unpack that.
Please.
Let's unpack that. Number one, the problem is that people actually aren't trying to write dissertations, because if they would try to write dissertations, I think they would think through a lot more of what they're saying. Just to go back to kind of what the original question was, is more so like, what is fat phobia? And also like, is it fat phobic to celebrate Adele's weight loss just in general? I do want to say that I think we can all probably agree that fat phobia is essentially an oppression or marginalization of fat people and fat bodies. I think that's like a really sort of broad strokes definition that we can probably work with for the purposes of this conversation. So the implications based on that understanding are that Adele, because of being a fat person, or other fat individuals in, you know, mainstream society, are not treated the same way as people with more desirable or with what are considered to be more mainstream acceptable bodies. So to take Adele, who is a public figure, and to publicly celebrate the fact that she's no longer a fat person sort of reinforces existing stereotypes, oppression, and marginalization of people with bodies like Adele. So I think that's kind of like the first bit of this convo, right? I think that if we look at it that way, it's pretty clear that most likely that's true. If we accept that fat phobia is oppression of fat people, celebrating someone specifically because they are no longer fat pretty much reinforces the idea that it's not a good idea to be a fat person.
Yeah. I guess, well, the counter argument to that for most people, it seems to be, is that we've always celebrated Adele somehow.
But the thing is, and this is something I said on Twitter that I think people are forgetting, is that like being a fat person is just like one particular thing that could be wrong or right or just a factor in your life. Adele is also a white woman who is more successful in the genre of music that she's a part of than a lot of people who originated that genre of music, specifically because she's not actually one of those people. She's a white woman, right? So like Adele's fatness, as much as it's relevant right now, I think is oftentimes overshadowing the fact that Adele already exists in a space of privilege when compared to people of the same size who are a different skin tone.
Yeah.
Or who live in a different region, or who, of course, you know, there's also other things like class and the fact that she's English and has an English accent and therefore is more so seen as approachable and high class and, you know, acceptable
in mainstream media. There's something about that accent, girl. Like, you know, my father has it, like, you know, obviously I'm going to have it, but I never turned it on for anyone. But, you know, she went up on, you can tell, like, she has a lot of privilege, like, and she somewhat acknowledges it especially people like to bring up that a speech of hers, Beyonce.
Well, you deserve this Grammy.
It was so impactful for my black friends.
Here's the thing. That's so valid, though.
I stand that speech specifically because it's like such a good example of what the girls do when they're not a part of a group that they're like, but they're aware of their oppression. So like, it's kind of like this thing you're supposed to do when you're woke, where you like supposed to check all the potential boxes that people could criticize you on. Yeah. So like, you just get ahead of it by being like, wow, I love Adele for being so not fat anymore, but also she's pretty in every single way that she was ever potentially a part of. You know what I'm saying? Like,
there's and like we're not praising her in the same way. Like, I feel like people are always like, look, I've been seeing so many tweets that literally read, yeah, so 15-time Grammy winner Adele has never been celebrated by society. And our discussion right now is not about whether she's won Grammys or not. Like, our discussion now is about how she looks and how people are and what people are exactly praising her for. Are they praising her for this supposed or like expected miracle weight loss? Because even though it's been gradual, she did lose a lot of weight in the last couple of years. And I think we just have this obsession with fat people losing weight quickly and effectively.
Also fallen out of the public eye a few times too.
Exactly. She leaves and comes back like significantly skinnier every time. So maybe she's not necessarily losing weight super drastically, but the way that people are going to see it is, oh my God, like she's doing the Biggest Loser challenge. Like, she's losing all this weight and now we have to praise it because I'm already thinking that weight loss is good. Skinniness is good, better than fatness. And so I don't know.
My thing is this, right? It's one thing to prove that a word makes sense, right? Like fat phobia, if we use a certain definition and we apply it to this situation, I think we get a pretty clear yes or no answer. My problem is like, where do we go from there, right? So like, let's say we prove, and I think genuinely, if you really think about it hard enough, I think if you're using this definition, yes, it is fat phobic in 9 times out of 10 cases to just sort of say that Adele is glowing up all of a sudden because she lost weight, right? I think that's definitely true. However, I think that that's just one particular piece of the puzzle. And I think it's a lot harder for us to determine someone's goodness or morality or even their ethics based on the fact of whether or not they're participating in this dance of being fat phobic and sort of celebrating Adele's weight loss. Yeah. And so it really goes down to, I think, speaking about individuals and how language and how even social media interactions can really complicate this sort of conversation, because mm-hmm. people are fitting all of their opinions into 140 or whatever 240 characters it is now. Instead of actually, like I said before, like writing those think pieces and dissertations for themselves. Because if you write them and you think about it a little bit more, there's more that fits. There's more to the story than Adele being fat or not.
Yeah,
Adele's also a white woman.
And the fat phobia conversation always changes per person, like you were just saying, because there's a conversation around, like, let's remember Janet Jackson, like back in, like, I think it was like 2005 when people were really on her ass about weight. Yeah. And you even had like conversations pop up around like one of the most, you know, popular acts of, I don't know, I guess our generation, Beyonce, when she was, you know, becoming pregnant and started gaining weight. Yeah. And there was a conversation around her body and how she was able to keep it, you know, a secret from people. That was a big thing. People were so interested in like needing to see Beyonce's body transformation. They were not really thinking about Beyonce. They were just thinking about like, what does this icon with all this money and all this success and all this like public access, like social capital, what does it look like for that person to keep their body in this socially acceptable weight frame that we all idolize and care about? Like, I mean, look at Jennifer Hudson. She had the same thing happen mm-hmm. to her. She has one of the most amazing voices in the industry at her time when she was on American Idol, and she lost American Idol partially because it's a public voting system and they did not really want a woman of size to win that show. They just wanted, obviously, when you think about racism, fat phobia, and all of these like things that happen as social constructs, everyone is affected by it. And when you have these mass voting constructs, it takes all of that into play, and it's a huge, almost like hypothesis, experimentation, like thing playing out in front of you on these television shows. And Jennifer Hudson was a huge example of how that worked, or like even Fantasia. You know, you can go on and on. You can go on and on with these.
Well, part of what you're sort of identifying is that blackness too. There's this idea that black women's bodies on average tend to be thicker and bigger and curvier too, right? And
how it's all about the optics.
How is fat phobia informed by race and differences in women too, seen from that lens?
Or how is fat phobia, and this is going to be problematic. I'm so sorry, Caputo, I'm about to use her, but how is fat phobia encouraged when you see things like Skinny Legend with Mariah Carey, and everybody's always trying to Photoshop her to have these outrageous Skinny Legend moments. And yeah, it's supposed to be funny, but it's being informed. Most, as we said before in the horror episode and in the comedy episode, things are taken from a dark place to make comedy. And that Skinny Legend shit is really just a comedy device being taken by the dark place that we don't like fat people.
Another black woman that was everyone was hyper vigilant on her weight, and she got flack for losing weight and gaining weight because she was always skinny. And when she gained weight, mainly because of her childbirth, like that was the point. So when people see someone either gain weight, quote unquote, for the worst, or lose weight, quote unquote, for the better, especially if they're a woman, the media is going to be hyper vigilant on that. Like that's always what the biggest topic is. And I think that's why Adele, it's so much of a topic for everyone, no matter what side or what argument you're having. It's because Adele is one, a woman, and two, she had like a seemingly drastic weight loss or weight change. And people are just like going to see that and run with their own already preconceived notions about what a fat person is and how acceptable are fat people as opposed to skinny people. Like if you already think that you should be losing weight all the time, you're going to see a person of size lose weight and your first instinct is going to be to congratulate them. And so like, congratulations, like you did it. Like you did the thing that everyone wants to do. You lost weight. So and really, I think people now are saying, like, why is that your first thing to say? Like, why are you automatically saying that losing weight is a good thing, no matter what the context or consequence it is?
Yeah, at least for me as a heavier person who's also been pretty much big bone and big my whole life, I feel that it's really useful for people to say, okay, like you said that that's a glow up. Why is that? I think that the biggest benefit to discourse like this and having it even like having it out in the open and talking through these things is questioning our belief systems. I think that's always awesome. Like critical thinking, seeing why it is that your gut reactions come out the way they do, knowing what's going on. I think all of that is literally the best part of having conversations like this, regardless of how messy they are, is that you're not stuck in that paradigm or in that programming that you've been given since, you know, your birth in society. That socialization is being disrupted.
It all works the same way. Like people aren't always like actively thinking about fat phobic things. If you're able to be fat phobic at certain times, it's almost like saying like every white person is racist. Like
I agree.
It's based on the socialization of racism. Like exactly. If you live in America or pretty much the globe and you're a white person, you've got racism in you. Like there's racism all up in here.
If you were born, you're racist.
If you were born in America, you were born a human person.
If you were born in anywhere in the world, most likely you're anti-black, even if you're not racist. That's another thing. And that includes black people, which is why oftentimes black people have to unlearn anti-black assumptions and stereotypical viewpoints and colorism and all this other shit that goes with what it is to be a person in a world that already hates you from before you even exist. Mm-hmm. So I think we can probably rest easy on sort of accounting for what I think is a fact, which is that, yes, it is fat phobic and you are participating in fat phobia and in that in diet culture and in really negative aspects of our culture when you sort of make blanket statements about how beautiful someone is or how valuable someone is when they choose for whatever reason to lose weight. With that said, I think that there's more nuance to this conversation than people allow for. And the discourse is so messy that it's oftentimes unproductive. So I think that, for instance, telling people that they cannot celebrate someone for being skinnier because they chose to be is weird. I think there's something very strange about that aspect of this discourse. And I think, too, that we forget that because all of us are intersectional human beings and we have vastly different sort of vantage points in life that we come from, and we can't just talk about fatness in a vacuum, we forget the way that what we're saying might hit other people's ears or might sound to other people. Like, if I see a fat, you know, trans exclusionary feminist person or a cis heterosexual person, like, talking about, you know, how valuable someone is based on their weight, I feel differently than if I hear a fat person talking about it, mm-hmm. who might align more similarly to me, or me might be a person of color, right? There's just different communities that we're a part of. And I think the biggest thing that we all should take into account is the fact that there has to be a level of respect for everyone, but also knowing that some people are just never going to be your audience. And so thinking critically about what you're trying to accomplish when you disrupt certain spaces is I think a thing. And there's no really like prescriptive way to determine how good what you're doing is until you, I guess, have done it enough to know.
Yeah. Even like language, like I was just saying this earlier, like there was a time where I had to unlearn certain things about what I thought about weight in general. Like someone had told me to, when I am approaching or if I see someone that I know has lost weight, don't have your first instinct to say congratulations. Because it's one, like just reinforcing the fact that like you lost weight and like losing weight is the goal. Mm-hmm. But it's also like, I don't know if I also like don't know personally, like what their journey has been. Like I could honestly be saying congratulations on your eating disorder or congratulations on any, like you don't know what's going on in someone's life other than the fact that they've lost weight physically. Like they look different. And that's like a simplification that happens with fat phobia. You just like are going to only narrow everything down to, are you fat? Are you skinny? Are you losing weight? Or are you gaining weight?
One thing I've tried to do personally more, because just unpacking this stuff for myself and sort of figuring out my own journey as far as how I feel about my body, is like asking people if their weight loss was a goal. Like just asking them if that's what they wanted to do. Because in my opinion, if that's what they wanted to do, then awesome. Good for you. I don't really subscribe to this idea that like fatness is inherently valuable. Neither do I subscribe to the idea that skinniness or fitness is either. I think on some level, respecting an individual is respecting their wishes for themselves, as long as they give me that same respect. So talking to someone and seeing that they've lost weight, oftentimes, if I don't know them very well, I probably won't even comment on it in the first place. That's just me. But if we are going to talk about it, I think it's a good step to just ask the other person how they feel about their weight loss and let that be sort of the guiding factor in the way you communicate about it.
And that's what I'm saying. Like Adele, like she's been out of the game, or not out of the game, I'll say, but like she's been out of the public eye necessarily. She's not really been photographed that often, like in the past couple of years. So it's almost kind of that same effect of people haven't seen her in a while. And even though she's been on a gradual weight loss journey, she's lost a lot of weight. Like I guess around the time that she was divorced is what I read. So you are really just seeing someone with a gradual or a seemingly quick weight loss, and you're going to, before anything else, congratulate them. It just shows where your values are when it comes to weight, if that's like the first thing. And I did like the fact that you said that about asking someone if weight loss is a goal, because that's really like what it is for some people. Like, and I think for Adele, that was also a goal of hers, was to lose weight. So that's like something personal, like for her own journey. But the way that society and the way Twitter is reacting to that, like that's where it shows who values skinniness over fatness, or who is downplaying like people of size, you know, on the other side.
It's hard too, because fatness is sort of like a spectrum, and it's also something that for a lot of people is mutable. It's not the same thing as being a Black person or being a queer person per se. Mm-hmm. So even though there's valid, you know, discourse surrounding the oppression that fat people experience, there's also this level of, you chose to live this way and you chose to be this fat or this, you know, to look like that. And I think that there's kind of like, that's also part of what muddies the discussion. Because even if I do ask Adele or Dolce or someone asks me why it is that I chose to lose weight, or if it was a personal goal, there's still a conversation about whether that desire itself is also problematic. And in a lot of cases, my genuine opinion is yes, it is. But who isn't problematic on some level, who isn't, you know, fucked up, who hasn't been tortured by the society they grew up in on some level, especially if you're not the standard for what people are looking for when they look at, when they think of default human beings in this space. So I just know that a lot of times these conversations, people are oftentimes really passionate about them because there's so much dismissiveness surrounding the topic in the first place. So they have to fight that much harder to be heard. But there's also like the mental health aspect of it, where I think to myself, like, what am I accomplishing by like talking to this person about that? What am I doing to myself by like putting myself through this labor, even discussing it in public, right? There's just so much that goes into it. And so.
Agreed. I mean, and like, I guess I wanted to like throw this out there, but I always see these annoying tweets from people, white people, and they always seem to have like this. I love memes, but people are always against the idea of like people dissecting a topic nowadays. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just because we're in a culture where everyone is starting to become very interested in their own opinion and having it voiced to the point where everyone needs to hear it at all times. I mean, yep. In some ways,
yep.
In some ways, I believe it, because I mean, we have a podcast because we're voicing our opinions because we think in some ways we have a relatively important one, or at least that it needs to be heard from a different perspective, which right. is true. Mm-hmm. But I think on the digital sphere, some people have too much of a voice. And sometimes y'all get real mad when someone has to dissect something. So I'm looking at a tweet from at Nintendo Ho 4.
Oh no.
We're name dropping the girls.
Okay. And I'm annoyed because when I think of at Nintendo Ho 4, or like you know, they have a tweet with these two white men looking off into the distance, and it's like someone just said, quote unquote, intentional weight loss is fat phobic. And it's like these men that are looking completely disinterested and annoyed. And when I think about the person who liked it, at Poppy XCX with your white Latinx personage, I just think it's so interesting that like people are very picky and choosy about it. It goes back to that topic about bodies that we talked about earlier when we were talking about Lizzo, and how like certain types of bigger bodies are more important than others. Mm-hmm. And that there's like a certain value on like thick bodies that are like specific, very specific. And when you attribute that to like Adele and her weight loss journey, if Adele, you know, changed weight classes and her body now was not presented in a certain way, yes. Mm-hmm. If it's not presented in a certain way and you saw her look like, you know, she had a larger top, like a Wendy Williams kind of body, I mean, I already just made that assumption. Some of that is fat phobic. Like,
no, but that's at least like a pretty common, that's like a good example of how we treat some bodies versus others, right? Wendy is skinny, but she's not celebrated for being beautiful necessarily, for whatever
because reason. Because she has a larger breast frame and then like a smaller lower end, lower body. But some of that is because of surgery. Some of that is because of her own natural like proportions. Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, you can tell, like, if Adele came out here without this body snatch the way that, you know, people wanted it to be snatched, they wouldn't be celebrating this hard. Yeah. And people are very annoyed when you talk about these things because nobody wants to be that introspective of themselves or around the conversation. It's always like, oh, yeah, girl, like, why do we always have to discuss this? Or, you know, Think Piece Twitter is, you know, at it again. And it's just, it's very reductive.
And that's such a good point, because there are so many people that have lost weight and it didn't, quote unquote, like fit them in the same way. Like there's been headlines about people saying that they lost too much weight, or like they look sickly now or something like that. Whereas like Adele, like she has an hourglass almost. Like in the picture that I saw, like the waist was snatched. Like,
yeah,
and there's period. So mm-hmm. there's a difference between like losing weight objectively, like the amount of pounds that you lose, and how your body, quote unquote, looks, like the optics of it, like your before and your after picture, like what do they look like? That's how you're going to get celebrated as like a weight loss, like in your weight loss journey, that you're going to have the before and like what your body looks after your transformation.
I think too, based on the realities of this kind of how hard it is to have these conversations, I think that's why 9 times out of 10, it's easier to just talk about systems and not individuals. Because realistically, I know it sounds like pandering and like I'm woker than thou or whatever, but I really genuinely thought Adele, to me personally, was kind of cuter, heavier. Like, and it's not because I think that that's some virtuous opinion. I just don't, I felt like the way the fat sort of distributed itself on her face looked more like appealing. I just liked her face better when she was heavier. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean she's not valuable or not beautiful. It's just personally, I thought that was cuter for me. Right. Mm-hmm. So to me, when I think about my history, I've always been heavy, but I grew up in a family where all the women in our family were relatively large, and the skinny people were the ones who were low-key oppressed and marginalized. Because in Haiti, no, seriously, in Haiti, you know, being heavy meant you were like higher class and wealthier. My mom,
you were eating good.
Yeah, you were eating good, and I was always mm-hmm. praised for being heavy. It wasn't until I kind of got incorporated into American schools and grew up, you know, going to mostly white and Latinx schools, that I was told that like I was too much or I was too heavy or too big. And that's where there was like a level of dissonance where I had a personal value system that I was given, you know, by my family. And then there was the societal one that I was kind of learning from the institutions that I was being incorporated into. And so that's where I find it really difficult to have these conversations in any real way outside of talking about the actual platonic kind of like definition of fat phobia and how it's applied to a situation. Because realistically, there's always going to be that one person who's like, well, I thought she was cute before, you know, and it's not really important. That's not actually really valuable. What matters is, are fat people marginalized and oppressed in America? Definitely. Are you participating? Are you helping? Are you making it worse?
Yeah.
I think that's more important than deciding if Adele's version of skinny is actually that cute or if it's that valuable or that important. And that's why it sucks for her, I think, because on some level, this was just her posting a picture. And it's turned into this huge issue. And I'm sure on some level it's impacting her own self-image and mental health. And that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
And there are think pieces even being written where, like, let's say you look at like a Deshaun, who I love, Deshaun Harrison on Wear Your Voice. She even released her article and she talked about like, I shouldn't be using she, I'm just, my pronoun thing, it's out the window. Like, I'll use she for anything. I'm so sorry.
That's true. Verified that, statement.
And it's very problematic, but it's also just literally, I don't even see gender in a certain way anymore. I don't even see it. I'm just like,
girl.
Anyway.
The construct, girl.
Yeah, there's a lot of constructs. Anyway, so as I was saying, like, you know, Adele has this weight loss thing come up at like a very opportune time, which is that, of course, she just had that divorce. And there is a system in place that puts women specifically in a very hard place to have people determine whether them losing weight was for men or for like this patriarchal system that they're in, where when you're losing weight, it's like, oh, I'm doing it to spite this man, I'm doing this, you know, he didn't, my favorite tweet was, he ain't fucked the old body. He didn't fuck the new body. He fucked the old body. Like, that's another girl. Like, he didn't.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. I hate the tweet, but also I was like,
it's tea, but
yeah,
it's
go off.
But that's literally it. Like, America as a society loves a transformation and they love a success story. So like, you fuck the old body. Like, I'm not that person anymore. I've like evolved and transformed and ascended to my higher self who is skinny.
Which I'm not going off on that, because there was a joke I had last year before we went to New York Pride. I 100% said that when I was in my final form, it was over when I went to New York City.
And ever since, you literally said, whenever I'm human size, and I've literally used that as a joke a million times.
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, like, obviously, like, queer community, specifically gay community, like, my body currency is extremely needed. Like, our community is literally a sexuality-based community. Like, if your body is not intact, your value is about, like, I want to say at least 70% diminished in this community. But that's just me. And that's me working through my own problems. But when I wanted to go to New York, like, my idea of going to like normal things like sex parties and like going to like parties in general or warehouse things, I have a trauma walking into a space like that versus like my other skinnier friend and also Latinx friend, Hiram, who, you know, she can walk into these spaces and be just fine and like, you know, go into this foam party and disappear in the foam. And when she comes back out, you know, there's some things on her leg. Like that happens to her. Those experiences happen to her. Do those experiences happen to some fat people? Maybe. I don't know any of them, but apparently, you know, it does happen because I see the girls on Twitter, but, you know, it's very few and far between. So when you think about like these experiences, obviously this whole spike culture, final form culture, you know, Frieza, Dragon Ball Z reference culture, that whole thing, it's all made to come to this end goal of like, I have arrived to this state of acceptance that works for me and it works for everyone else.
I don't know. As a fat person, I actually would just rather people be honest about how they really feel and not feel forced to like pander or say that they're attracted to things that they're not, or deal with people that they're not like willing to deal with. And this goes back to me, back to like the conversation about intersectionality as well. Like, I don't need anyone to like sort of talk about this like platonic sort of extrapolated theoretical version of themselves that dates people who look like me or who like isn't, you know, misogynistic or anti-Black or fatphobic. Like, I don't want to actually deal with that. I don't actually care. I just kind of want to know who I'm really fucking with and who I'm really not. And so I can really maneuver in spaces and feel safe. Because I think a lot of times we get into these conversations and a lot of people don't have a real end goal in mind about what they're even talking about. They're just parroting shit they heard or retweeted from somebody a few weeks ago or heard enough times for it to be like ingrained in their thought. Like nine times out of 10, y'all niggas do not want to date anyone who looks like the people you're trying to defend. And it goes back to that very, very early in our career as podcasters article about how your sexuality and your desire for fatness is only, it's like your love of fat people is limited up to a certain point, nine times out of 10.
I think a lot of people just don't really know what fat phobia is and like the extent of it. And if someone gets called out for being fat phobic or like, you know, assisting, helping along fat phobia run its normal status quo course in praising someone solely for losing a lot of weight, they think that you're like, that you're attacking them as someone who hates fat people or like bashes fat people openly. And like all of those things.
And I don't think it matters if you are. I don't think it even matters. Like, let's say you don't bash anyone openly who is fat. Let's say you don't pick on fat people. But like, let's say you also like have never ever in your life respected a fat person's opinion more than a skinny person.
Exactly. Or
been interested romantically in a fat person, even one you knew very well and thought was amazing and cool. But you were like, damn, they're just a little heavier than I want.
But a lot of people aren't thinking far enough to consider that to be fat phobic.
It is.
Like, it literally stops, like, their idea of fat phobia stops at I go online and write, like, comments about Lizzo and how she's fat. Like, that's what people think, like, oh, like, that's what fat phobia is. Right. It's not, like, how can fat phobia be celebrating? Like, how can celebrating something, anything, be fat phobic? And that's where, like, people, it just doesn't, like, go to that point. And I think that's why, like, fat phobia is just so intrinsic. Because it just lives. It lives in everybody. And no one really even has a word for it.
Child, like, it goes back to any privilege that anyone has. This is not even about fatness. It's about privilege. It's just how privilege operates. When you're a part of a status quo and you're not actually able to identify what's wrong with what's going on because you're actually a part of what's right about everything in the world that you're living in, that's called a blind spot. And on some level, there's a level of, I think, grace you can apply to people in those situations, or at least even a level of like just ignoring those people, that if you choose to be in that space, you're probably going to be a lot happier in life because it's just not going to get to you in the same way. But there's certain parts of society and segments of culture that it becomes impossible to ignore when people have these attitudes, because like Dolce said, being a fat person limits your ability to actually reliably date or have sex or like fulfill your desires as an individual, or to even be seen in certain public spaces that are the only public space you actually even belong to. Like, as a fat person, a lot of times you have no space that really actually feels like it celebrates you or makes you feel good about yourself. Literally none.
Or it changes your idea about spaces around you. Yeah. Like, I can be in a space for, you know, for example, we go to Ember in Orlando and everybody's together. My interpretation of an event when we're all together is very different than the interpretation of the other people who feel very comfortable in the room. Like, yeah. That's why I was going to say, like, to your point that fat phobia is like a privilege. Fat phobia is also like very similar to a trauma in the sense that it's so deeply impactful to us that it has basically become this distressing, disturbing, but somehow yet covert trauma that it lives in our bodies at all time. It's everywhere. Like, you get up in the morning, you look in the mirror, fat phobia, because a lot of times you're like, I wonder if I changed a bit, because, you know, I hit up that Wawa at like 2 a.m. and I'm not sure, girl. You leave your house and you're going to work. The conversation in your mind is probably like, oh, let me look in the mirror because I want to make sure like I look a certain way. I get to work. If somebody comments on the outfit I'm wearing, is it about the fact that it looks good or is it the fact that it's a little bit tighter today? You go to a family event, you never want that one aunt or that one uncle or that one person to be like, wow, you look different, girl. Like, there's like the trauma surrounds you everywhere.
I mean, even
and it hits you everywhere.
Certain cultures where, like, literally, not cultures even, like, whether it's gay, whether it's your actual culture you grew up in, being in spaces and seeing the types of people who get attention and who get celebrated around you is also part of the conversation too, right? Like, going to the club and seeing the same types of people being hit on and picked and chosen, and who the same types of people being in relationships, or they're out of a relationship and so suddenly they're free and on the market and it takes them zero time to find a new person to entertain themselves with. I think few people forget too how, like, yes, like, all types of people can be in relationships. I think, like, we've seen this happen. Fat people can find love, skinny people can find love, whatever. But a lot of times, based on just sort of like running a numbers game, the people who fall into the privileged sort of caste of society oftentimes have more opportunity in general because their body types or their, you know, their membership or their identity is celebrated in such a way that they just literally get a better chances to be happy nine times out of 10.
It's really like that. Like, that you either, like, if you're not living that, you don't see. And like I was saying before, like, I've always been skinny and I was not seeing that for a lot of my life, but, like, a lot of like fat phobic things or just like fat phobia, like at work, I didn't see that or was even able to acknowledge it until people literally had to spell it out. Like this is trauma. Like, this is shit like going like, every day. I was like, it all kind of starts with the, like, knowing how much damage you're doing as someone who isn't
a fat person.
Like, insert this like underprivileged group, but yeah, like in this like particular conversation, like fat people, if you're not fat, like, you are a skinny person and you have a way of continuing a cycle more than a person who is fat. If you're skinny, you're able to push the cycle of fat phobia quicker and harder than someone who is dealing with like internalized fat phobia.
When
like,
dating,
I can do more damage.
When I'm dating as a fat person, 9 times out of 10, I'm like, I'll give a person who's been fat in their life one time, even if they're not fat anymore, more of a like a second look versus someone who's never been fat. Specifically because even though I'm not mad about my size, I don't think my size is like the worst thing that could have ever happened to me, right? Like, obviously we all have our own sort of opinions about how our weight affects our life. But like, personally, I think I'm pretty cute regardless. But like, I'm not running up on niggas who have never been fat, because 9 times out of 10, I just know that there's going to be that hurdle. It's the same thing as a Black person in dating like non-POC and non-Black people. There's always that risk that you're going to run into where, like, most likely they're anti-Black or unlearning anti-Blackness, right? So it's just like another layer of bullshit to sort of wade through.
So you'd rather just like not deal with it?
Yeah. Like, even if you see me dating someone who's not currently fat, most likely they've been fat in their life before. And it's actually a conversation that we've had or something. And if they haven't been, I feel safe around them, or they're aware of my feelings about like my size or something, where I've had a conversation about it, because it's like a valid factor in every aspect of my life. Because where I live, at least, you know, I've learned as I've gotten older that that my mom thinking I'm cute doesn't mean shit when I go to a gay club or to Pride. It doesn't mean anything.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So you know, my fatness is a factor, my hair texture is a factor, my skin color is a factor, my accent, my cat, like, you know, the amount of money that I make every year is a factor. But I think people just need to realize that, like, even if you don't, you know, actually get it, it's not actually helpful to dismiss a conversation either.
I think that's what I'm more annoyed at, is that I think Twitter is a place for discourse. Yeah. I think it's literally what Twitter is for. You're able to retweet things, you're able to like things, so people can see what you agree with and you can continue a conversation by retweeting something. So that's the whole point of Twitter. But I think people are being called out for fat phobia, and they're seeing that as an attack on what they think is a positive thing. And then all these people are coming saying, well, actually, like, this really isn't like all daisies and rainbows that you saying that a fat person losing weight is great.
I think the problem is that, like, it happens for a lot of these people in the general pot. And I'm not saying I'm better than anyone or like making these elitist or trying to make an elitist statement. But I think for the general populace, like we said earlier, like, most people are not thinking past like the first level. There's going to be like 6 levels of, mm-hmm. you know, higher thinking. And they're probably at the first level.
On a topic. Right.
The first level is like, you know, slacktivism, activism, sitting on your couch, like reposting about, you know, fat people being marginalized, but you really have no clue what that experience is like. You barely read anything.
Your Grindr filter is jock and like,
yeah.
And you're, I don't want to be the
winner.
Slider is all like, the way is down. Like the... Thick to you is 185 pounds.
At 6'2".
Right.
But yeah, like, you know. Oh, you know, I'm not trying to call anybody out. I'm just saying, but, you know, when it comes to, that, like the thinking mechanism, like, people are just not thinking past the first layer, and the general populace is not used to being called out so hard. This conversation is very similar to the one about like OnlyFans. Mm-hmm. Like, when people call out, racism in like sexual politics, they do not want to be seen as racist, obviously. That's the biggest problem for most people. Mm-hmm. And when you look at OnlyFans, the top 10% of creators are all white or some version of like a lighter type of Latinx ethnicity. And usually anybody who is black in those spaces are coons like Max Connor or oh my God, or like a Boomer Banks or something. Like, you look at anyone who's colored in those spaces, they are usually somehow conforming to something. And you only ever see like white bodies being, or white bodies or lighter sand colored bodies.
Muscular bodies that are used as objectified sex objects. Like these, like, yeah. Powers, you know, like that type of shit.
But I also don't want to remove, I don't want to say muscle and white and like that sand color body all in the same, because there's a conversation also to that where I have a friend, a darker skinned friend, who is currently trying to do something that they do for only white twinks, which is they try to convince that person of all these different ideas and are trying to like get them to come to a better understanding of life. But they'll only do it, you know, for 4 or 5 years for that one person. But then when a black friend screws up, then all of a sudden everyone's against them. But that's other tea.
And it's hot. It's very hot.
Yeah, it's very hot.
You know what? Let's untuck that later.
we'll
add that to the docket.
But like, when I say, when I'm talking about that, it means that like, I do not want to remove the fat conversation overall. And then just like the color conversation overall, from the muscle conversation, because there is an intrinsic tie between white, like larger men being more desirable than larger men who are black. And in any bear community, any chub community party, you look at those parties, it is 95% white. So,
well, that's when you look saying about Adele that we forgot.
Yeah. No, I agreed. I agree.
Like, Adele is no, if Jasmine Sullivan had the same moment, we might actually care about her maybe right now at this point. But like, Adele, people give a shit about Adele already before she was not fat anymore.
That happened to Kelly Price, because the girls thought that Kelly Price was too big to have a career. But yet, yeah, she sang most of the girls Under the Water. Same thing with Jill Scott before she lost weight.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Jennifer Hudson too. Well, Jennifer Hudson, because you brought her up, but like, she was almost the picture of weight loss when it came to, like, she was always known as being like the, like, you know, big bone or like heavy set girl that was singing. And then she became the spokesperson for, was it Weight Watchers?
I think, or something.
And that career declined.
And then she lost all that weight. And then after she lost the weight, everyone said, oh, you know, you look so good. But then follow that up with, girl, you can't sing anymore. Oh, like, you look better when you are, or you are more suited to be fat. Like, you shouldn't have lost all that weight. Like, you lost it too quickly. And da, 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 da. Like, it's like a, it's so like pinpointed because, again, like, she's a woman, she's black, she was big. Like, no one cares about, like, the journey. They care about the optics, like, what you look like before, what you look like after, all the other things that make up who you are. Like, how do those play in? But if you're skinnier, you're already higher up.
Girl, that's just one slider on this character selection screen, bitch. Because realistically, all these girls care less about black people, care less about brown, dark skin, non-binary people. They do not care how skinny or fat we are. We're still always going to be at the bottom. And that's,
you can't win.
And so, you know, as much as I appreciate this conversation about Adele's fat phobia, like about Adele losing weight and how it's fat phobic in certain lenses to like celebrate it, we really need to get down to the fact of the facts is that Adele is already more successful than other women of the same size for factors that have nothing to do with how good of a singer she is, because she is not the best singer that there ever was.
She is not. And I'm also, wait, hold up, before we even get, because we're like around 50 minutes, we should like kind of wrap this up. But like, I'm not saying her albums aren't hot, because let me tell you something. 21 is an album that I have cried. 19, 21. I Love in the Dark. Let me tell you, I have never, you know, that daydream fantasy. Well, it's actually a nighttime fantasy where you put on the headphones and you stare into the ceiling and you daydream about, like, you know, your music video life where you basically die in the beginning of the music video, but then you get to see my whole life. That is what I do with Love in the Dark. Like, that album, there's some, I have experienced some things, honey, in my daydream life.
That album was one of my breakup albums because I broke up at the time that it came up, like basically around that time. Like, I literally went through a relationship cycle at the time. So I get the idea of, like, Adele's music on a certain level being something that resonates with a lot of people. But we can't look at the grand scheme of music and not see the lines where they are. Like, the girls who have been, who created this art form are not getting the same level of appreciation and like, I think, and fame for what it is that they're doing. Versus Adele, who has, like, what, like, 3 octaves of vocal range?
Ooh.
I'm just saying, like, even as a singer, everyone I know, including myself, who can sing, knows that Adele is not the best singer we've ever heard in our life. We just know she resonates because she has a beautiful instrument, and she also has a great team that helps her write amazing music that resonates with people, and that's awesome.
And there's a thing about good singers that are white and have like a soul type
of, and soul is tied, like, to a struggle, soulful, and oppression. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder what's going to happen when Adele, who is no longer allowed to be called ugly or fat or too fat to keep a man or whatever, tries to make music about crying about her relationships. Like, I wonder what that looks like now and what type of memes and think pieces we're going to get from that once the next album drops. Like, we're not even there yet, right? But think we're about what happens when Adele is no longer considered like that Chasing Pavements girl. Now, is she supposed to change up her music and suddenly she's like a femme fatale? Is that like now what we're getting?
Well, if we think about that, like, what if, I mean, it's similar to how Rihanna changed her entire genre when she went from Pondy Replay to SOS. Like, imagine Adele going from, I don't know, Hello to an SOS bop. Like, I just, yeah. I can't really see it.
I don't know. I mean, like, someone like Sam Smith, who also is like a quote unquote body positivity icon, who's also from the UK and white. He kind of like had
a pattern.
Kind of had like a similar journey. And I feel like now they are kind of in like every genre. Like, they're getting pushed into a lot of different genres because of that avenue that they have. So I wonder, like, if Adele's music or, like, maybe her label or whatever are going to push her into a different...
Being smaller, it almost breeds this thought pattern of, like, now that you are smaller, we now expect that you can move and dance and do things. Like, you should be able to show us what you can do. That's usually what happens when people lose weight.
She's going to give us a cool for the summer. A Demi Lovato.
Okay, Lovato. I would die. I actually would stream.
I would just too, a little.
I would stream. The last thing I want to say though is Tariq Ali. Is that how you say her name? I am not a big fan of hers. I know she just got her biology degree, so congratulations on that. But one thing I gotta say is you got some very interesting neoliberal conversations going on your page. And I just want to ask, why do you think that your opinion is so highly valued? Because you're getting, like, I don't know, light skin clicks from people, and people are interested in, like, queer baiting conversations and things like that on your page. I do not know
who this person is, so you're gonna have to fill me in.
Yeah,
he's a YouTuber, gay, black. Oh, he just does a lot of, like, yeah, it's a lot of, like, pop culture stuff.
Do we have
but he has been opening a lot of discussions about just a bunch of different things. He's now changing his channel to be more of a open forum about, you know, broad topics. Wait,
is she more like a caramelite color with, like, bleach blonde? Like,
she's definitely brown skin.
She's one of the girls that can do bleach blonde hair and not have a problem.
Okay, so let's actually just real quickly discuss specifically what the issue is with Tariq, so that at least,
well, I think,
to hear this, they can at least understand specifically what you mean.
I guess, because I don't know a whole lot about her, but anytime I ever see Tariq on my Twitter timeline, there has always been a very she's always had, like, opinions that are a little bit more disproportionately predicated on, like, gimmicks and, like, desirability, crowding out, like, high-stakes conversations with, like, centrist views and, like, mm-hmm. neoliberal punditry. Like, she's real interesting.
Please tell me specifically what you mean.
She said neoliberal punditry.
I'm like, girl, come on, Dolce, please.
Because when you think about it, and I usually don't go here, but I'm trying to be as, like, I'm trying to be as nasty as possible because I just really don't like her. With this fatphobic conversation.
Okay. We're getting somewhere.
Her comment section has been like, the vitriol has honestly been coming from her page the most, and she has not had anything really to say until she came out with a tweet, which I don't have right now. I'm actually looking for it because I'm wondering if she deleted it, which is what most of the girls do, but there's usually screenshots all over the place. But I saw a tweet of hers, and she tried to kind of give you this apologist version of a, yeah, Adele is, you know, fat phobia exists, but we shouldn't really be talking about fat phobia. We should just be celebrating Adele in general. And she does that a lot with all of the issues that ever come up, like blackness, fatness, anything that has to deal with, like, people of color. She seems to be very flippy floppy on the fence. And she never takes a side. And I just hate that. Because then somehow people, like, use Tariq's tweets as a way to justify what they say. Or they'll retweet them and use it as a way to say, well, because I support this one black person, it's somehow creating, like, this overarching, I support black people, when you don't. And Tariq is just, like, another avenue for people to use in black culture nowadays to justify their own their own internalized homophobia, their own racist and or colorist tendencies and things like that. That's why I bring her up.
I like Tariq. I know Tariq because I used to follow Justin Marcus from New York.
Yeah, I follow
Justin. And their friends.
Yeah.
And their friends. But Tariq pretty much does this thing of, like, playing devil's advocate where it's more so him posing the question rather than offering his opinion. And then I think that's why those who are saying, like, most of what is coming out of his page is, like, the comment section and, like, everyone kind of, like, going at it on, like, their own opinions. It's all pretty much, like, one big Twitter feed of mess. So he's just more so, again, posing a question, playing devil's advocate, but he also is coming from being a skinny person and, like, an attractive person and a relatively lighter skinned black person too. So
I follow Tariq.
It's not like he necessarily is going to identify with the societal things that he's talking about, because he's more so just always trying to pose the question in what he's putting out. Like, his content isn't necessarily him always going into what he thinks or what he thinks is right.
I've watched Tariq's content on YouTube. I don't actually, like, I think I follow Tariq on on Twitter. But one thing I've told Dolce is like, I'll follow people and it has nothing to do with what I'm paying attention to, because I might not ever see their posts or even be on Twitter enough to like know what they even say on average.
But giggle, this conversation.
I know for sure when I've watched their YouTube videos, like I think Caputo's right that a lot of times they do that thing where they kind of just like present that information and try to dissociate them, so like actually disassociate it from who they are. And I think that's a messy game, because on one end, I think it's safe, and that's oftentimes the best thing you really can do for your brand, because people want you to speak up on shit, but then they want to grill you as if you're an authority on the whole topic itself. And as a skinny person talking about anything to do with fat people, I feel like that's like a really dangerous place to be. So I don't blame her for actually, and I'm saying her in the same way Dolce said it earlier, like I don't blame Eric for doing that. However, I do think that to have a monetized video, and I'm assuming it's monetized because they're a YouTuber, on this issue and like sort of separate the issue from yourself is actually really strange and doesn't make sense, right? Like capitalistic sort of making a buck off of this issue and sort of like leveraging riot culture to like make money on YouTube. And then there's the like, oh, am I a bad person because I have stupid views sometimes, or maybe views that you don't agree with. Like there's two different angles to that, right? Like we have this stupid society that thinks it's a great idea to just literally just grill people that they don't even know just for disagreeing with them. But then there's also the fact that like you're making money off of this particular issue, and the issue really shouldn't be your issue to talk about. So
yeah, in moments like this, Tarek really just needs to sit back and listen and not play devil's advocate or like posture political awareness on topics.
I think that's a smart move in a lot of cases.
Yeah. Cause they not only affect like the material conditions of like folk unlike him, but also it's their main critiques are directed at the very conditions of social capital, and his social capital exists on this conversation. Like a lot of it exists on it. It's predicated on it. Like he needs that. And just because you don't have anything to talk about, girl, I'm just, I don't know. I don't want to attack people of color like that, but it's just one of the many that I've seen in Twitter and on in the digital space that have always made me raise my eyebrow.
Well, the problem here is
that I think she's good, though.
The problem here, though, is whether she's good or not, it's irrelevant to me, at least, because to me, I'm still harmed if a good person does bad things. It's irrelevant to me if she's like morally good or bad. It's more so, are your actions helpful or harmful to me as an individual? So I think that's where we talk about, like, if you're a part of a community that is actively being marginalized and oppressed, even the people who might not be aware of that can do things that can perpetuate that state, which is where we get to this conversation about like people rioting on the internet and like what, even though they might be justified in doing that, like what the impact of it is. Like, this is such a messy conversation to have. And the point I wanted to make is that essentially, because we live in this hyper globalized society where people can make snap judgments and decisions and communicate that shit, you know, a million miles away across the globe, we've exacerbated a problem that I think would not have been as large in smaller communities, where people knew each other, trusted each other, grew up with each other, or at least were near each other long enough to know what they were dealing with. And that's something to consider, I think, regardless of where you fall on this spectrum, is like, how is your participation in society and in social media and in your community impacting the way you actually interact with other individuals online? Like, if you knew this person well enough to know who they really were, would you feel the same way about what they're saying? Does it matter? Would you have had an opportunity to talk to them and maybe help them along their journey a little bit faster, right? I just like to think that we should present that as a question so that more and more people can think, okay, like maybe my time is better spent talking to these people instead, because these people.
But it's also like more. It's also like who's making forums, like, because a lot of the conversation is literally happening online,
and that's
like that's we're also in quarantine, so I haven't really been seeing anyone physically. But I know even if we were seeing each other physically, a lot of this whole discourse would be online. So is it necessarily a social responsibility to know how your forum is going to be used and being socially responsible for the content that you create because of how people will comment on that content? It's all like linked, because like
it's a one-to-one thing individually.
Yeah.
Like we're deciding right now that we value our opinions enough to put them online. But individually, each of us has to decide how much we care about what we get back. Like if someone says that I'm fatphobic today after this conversation because I didn't parrot whatever ideas they have about fatphobia to back to them on their, you know, on their Twitter feed or on their in their earbuds or whatever, that's their choice. And I can decide how irritated that makes me and how much I want to respond to that. That's like a personal decision.
But it's just being receptive too. Like, that's what a lot of people are missing. And I guess that is one thing that I could fault Tarek, is that he's not necessarily receptive to people coming to him with criticism.
Which is silly if you make your money off of people's opinions about what you're doing.
Exactly. So, like, that's one thing I can definitely fault him for, is, like, creating a forum and then not being receptive to the people saying things like commenting on fat phobia or anything like that. But what Eric should
do is just make a decision. Like, for instance, if you want to be Beyonce and never respond anyway, that's just as much your right as responding to every little thing that someone says. Yeah. But Beyonce still knows where her money is coming from, which is why she still plays the game right. Like, she might not necessarily one-to-one talk to each and every one of us, but she will handpick a few girls that look like each and every one of us here and there in a music video so that we shut up a little bit. Like, she knows she's playing a game, right?
She is.
I stand Beyonce, but my point is like, everyone has to be strategic and realistic. Like, on some level, I think some days I log onto the internet and I'm ready to fight all of my battles that day. Other days I log on and literally just show me a meme of Pikachu and Jigglypuff singing. Like, I don't give a fuck about anything. But I know that's like a personal choice, right? It doesn't mean that what I'm talking about on Wednesday is less important just because I don't care about it as much on Tuesday. But like, it's just reality. Like, I can't argue with strangers personally every day, every damn day of my life. I just can't do it for certain things. But for other things, I will never tire. Like, for instance, this Cardi B and Nicki thing. You know how I feel about that. I will never not be willing to like stand on that hill and die on it, right? So I just think we have to be realistic here and not expect so much from each other, especially in a time like this. Some people are just gonna look at her body and be like, damn, she looked good, okay, go off. Other people are genuinely fat phobic as fuck.
Yeah,
not give a fuck about your opinion, and are trolls online. There's lots of different ways that this is playing out all at once.